Have any of you encountered the experience? I want to tell you briefly about this client, this young man who came in with real anger in his core body. And we did some work and found that his anger was toward his father. And the mother had called me and said, I don't know why this is, because the father on the surface seems to have a perfectly wonderful relationship. So I asked the young man about his history, and he said, well, his parents met in high school, and they got pregnant before they graduated, and the father insisted that the mother have the abortion so that they could continue and graduate from high school. So when we were doing some work around the fact that he had been a child who followed an abortion, he suddenly burst into tears. And he said that he really felt that he was the aborted child, and the unexplained rage that he carried on for his father was a result of the abortion that his father insisted his mother have, that he came back twice. And in that second time, he carried that resentment. Have any of you encountered any of that kind of stuff? Because it turns up in my practice a lot.
Very techno people. yeah, I have. I don't really have a lot to say about it, but yes, it does happen. Yeah. And, you know, it makes sense to me that if they came in a second time, just as Adela was saying in her work, sometimes the babies say, I'll come back. But, and I was curious when she was saying that, well, you know, if that happens, what do they bring an imprint with them? And it sounds like, yeah, they do. And I think they do. And maybe some do and some don't. It just depends on how they leave. And perhaps if that little one had got to leave with Adela, you know, with some resolution and care and loving attention, they may not have had to come back in that way, still holding that anger and rage. Yeah.
I'd like to just add to that briefly that I find it helpful to think of this as a family member, not necessarily because they don't have a body, that doesn't qualify them as such. And so you might think that what effect that would have on someone that was cast out of the family. I mean, just take it out of the literal situation, and that tries to come back, and that's cast out again and tries to come back. And, you know, someone might meet another family and be adopted and be better off, and that would be fine. You know, it's very individual, but I'm going to ask you all to kind of expand that framework to not be so literally connected to the body. Does that make sense?
I just wanted to ask Karen, what happened after your mother realized you were there to stay?
You know, actually, I don't know. I don't have a particular... for me, it was just after the abortion attempt and I went into survival, I don't really... I don't have a sense of anything changing for me, you know. And I don't know if that was, you know, a really big decision of, oh, okay, I think it was just she couldn't get rid of me, so she just had to put up with it. It probably wasn't I mean, actually, later in years, she actually left me again when I was a kid. She left both me and my brother. Yeah, and my brother, you know, my brother was a wonderful example of a child who's not only an abortion survivor, but who came into a womb where I had been an attempted abortion. And that guy cried nonstop for the first year, which is obviously trauma crying. I mean, he was so traumatized. And he's not even alive now. I feel sure that the whole thing killed him one way or another, actually. Yeah.
My husband told me that he cried for the first 8 years of his life. But I don't know anything about, you know, his womb experience. My husband told me that he cried for the first 8 years of his life. And I have no idea what kind of a history he's had. I met his parents, you know, when we got married, and they seemed very sensible and loving and accepting. You know, I was a strange woman. I came from Germany. He had spent 3 years in Germany, and suddenly they had a German daughter-in-law. I mean, but he cried for 8 years. And so he seemed not able to cry when we first, you know, interacted and early in our marriage. And I thought he was unfeeling. He has grown.
I'm just wondering if you all know anything about women who have the hyperemesis and have the, you know, nausea and vomiting for a long, long time in the pregnancy or very extremely so. When I was pregnant with my oldest son, I had it very severely for 4 months. And during that time, I was told lots and lots, don't think about your abortion and don't read about it, don't do any of that, because it'll just make you feel bad. Wow. And I finally got to a day where I sat down and I read a book about grieving, and I wept the entire day and night, and I never threw up again.
Yay, good for you. Yeah.
Yes, with our experience, that actually a lot of the women who come to us have had an abortion and are pregnant, but it's a good time to work at the right level with them and to acknowledge the feelings. Their hormones are just right for working with, and I think that was a really sensible thing that you did. Mm-hmm. It's in some ways people might think the logic is to just think good things, ignore what's going on, but no, I'd say work with your body, work with your feelings, and it's the best time, really, because it's preparation for being able to move on when you have got your baby.
Well, I think it was Frank Lake who said, wasn't it, that the baby marinates in the mother's unconscious. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not as if the baby doesn't know what happened, the one that's in the womb, you know. I was going to say something about that. Yeah, you know, when if any of you are working with pregnant women, if you say if you came to see me and you wanted to work that through and you were pregnant, I would have you talk to the baby that's in your womb and say, you know, this happened, and I know that you know it's happened because you've come into that place where it happened, and just to really acknowledge that and be with whatever that might be, and say, and now I'm going to do my work around this, and it's not about you, and there isn't anything that you have to do about it. And then just maybe put some protective energy around that little one, and then you can just go right ahead and do whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. And the baby.
What about if that little one is now 18 years old?
Yeah. Absolutely. There's never too late for repair. Never too late. I do it with my son. He's 31, you know. Now whenever I say anything to him, he's, oh, Mum, you know. But, yeah, but I've just. Yeah, just. Right. Yeah, talk to him about it and how you feel. Say you're sorry, I don't know, whatever you want to say.
This is actually a question for Adela. My clinical experience, I've actually had quite a bit working with abortion and terminations of pregnancy.
Yes.
Coming from a prenatal diagnostic perspective.
Yes.
So I work as a genetic counselor, and so I counsel women when a diagnosis has been found in the pregnancy and working through the options that are available to them, especially in cases where the fetus may not survive after birth or may have a lethal anomaly.
Yes.
So my experience has actually been more from families who wanted the pregnancy more than anything.
Yes.
And are faced now with the challenge of having to decide whether to continue or not. What are some recommendations you would have as far as working with these women after they've chosen to terminate this pregnancy that they wanted so badly, to prepare themselves for future pregnancies, to kind of, as you're saying, sort of cleanse that womb and start over and really get themselves prepared again? Yeah?
What, Marcy, you want?
Joanne.
Because that's something that in our field it has just not been addressed at all.
Well, you know, I would like to encourage you to really see this as a relationship between beings.
Mm-hmm.
And to have her really do a very careful dialogue, her and the father, and even other siblings, with that being, and say, you know, we so want you to come. And this body that my body was growing for you isn't going to be adequate for you. It's just not going to work out. It's not a good life for you. And so this body needs to be shed. And you're very welcome to stay in my field and return. And I'm going to really let my body heal, and I'm going to do everything that I can to make it the healthiest body for you to come back to. And I think that's also a message to the body, to really cleanse itself and to have a sense that something anew can begin, that there will be an end point when that will, she'll feel this is complete now in my body. It's been healed, it's well, and now would be a good time. And then if she doesn't have another pregnancy, you know, you might talk to her about we get our babies in kind of interesting ways sometimes, not always the way we'd like or the way we expect. And this baby, this particular being, may have to find its way to you by some other means, someone else's body, through adoption, possibly. I have other stories about that where I'm absolutely certain that that same person has come in. And I can speak of that because my second child is one of those. Didn't come through my body. And I spoke to him for 6 years in meditation before he found his way. Same person. So I hope that says something. Marcy, you said there's someone here that has something to add about that. Please. Please go ahead.
Can you grab the microphone? That's great.
I'm at the High-Risk Perinatal Center and did the group with the genetic counselors that chose to end their pregnancies. And we did exactly what you do. We helped them say goodbye to the babies, why they were making the decision. And then I had a whole program for the next pregnancy. So, yeah, I've got material if you want to look at it.
I want to say, I don't want to be too redundant, but it's such a simple principle, and I from my part of it, I'd like you all to leave with it. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. And if you really let that in, you'll really know intuitively what to do with it.
I'm really happy that I came to this session. And I do want to say that when I did work clinically as a nurse midwife, and did family planning, and I always did ask women to look into those relationships and what their spiritual beliefs were. One of the things I think now is there is such an epidemic of sexual violence and rape in the world. I mean, there is all the rape that's going on in the name of war, and there are rape camps in Bosnia and the Congo and Rwanda. There's just all incest and all of those sexual abuse of children. And I took care of a lot of women who were, I mean, I learned in my practice, I worked part of the time in an inner city hospital, that midwives are always the women who bound up the sexual wounds of women. And I want to just ask for some reflections from the panel around this issue, because, you know, there's coming in the world, there are all the attempts that women do through the millennia around abortion. And then there's the specific, you know, women who were told that as they were raped by a soldier, that it was to make a baby of that ethnicity, or it was to destroy your ability to have children. And having at times to deal with that. And what wisdom, what thinking can you offer around those stories?
I'd like to give that to Julia, who I think sees a population that quite a few people with that issue. Yes. Yeah.
We've had quite a few women come to us who have been raped. It's also interesting, they never say the word rape, they will just say attacked. And just to say the word rape can be huge shame in itself. But I think what I would say is that it's being able to just work with them to be able to separate enough from the abuser to be able to find and really search in their hearts what do they want. And yeah, we have different outcomes from this. We've had some who have instinctively wanted the child but have dreaded that the child will look like the father. That has been very difficult. But I could also say a lot of very positive stories that women have chosen to keep the baby, have talked with the baby in the womb and have bonded well. We have a builder locally, and his wife is the, he told me this, he said, my wife's a product of rape, and if she hadn't been born, I'd never have got married, and we were really happy. That's on a bit of a simple level in some ways. But I also remember another woman who came to us who had been attacked, had been given the morning after pill. She went straight to the police, yet was still pregnant. And in fact, the abuser got off free because she chose to keep the pregnancy, and so it was not considered as rape. So there's all sorts of other issues that have to be challenged with this. But actually, and in fact, sadly, she miscarried, which may well have been the baby's choice. That's the right way to go. But she did want to keep the baby. She'd gone through so much. She really wanted to have this little one because she'd lost an earlier child. And I think it's not an easy question to answer because we just often don't know all the other circumstances around. But I do believe that there is the deep down instinctive desire to nurture in most situations, which is in such conflict with what has gone on. And that is where the problem is, and where enough time and just real time and real support would be what I would say.
Feel free, anyone else?
This gentleman's been waiting a lot.
Oh, I want to add something to that.
Yep, you're welcome.
Well, then go ahead and add it, and then we might need to close with him again.
I would just invite us all, what you all have been talking about, although the word hasn't really been used, is consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's the powerful agent. And I would invite all of us, when we read an article, there was recently an article in Parade magazine, I believe it was the cover article, about the rape that is being used as a form of terrorism. And there was a little paragraph in there that most people probably wouldn't have paid that much attention to, but to me it was the most chilling, and that was talking about groups of high school girls who were pregnant from rape. And, they're concerned about the teen pregnancy aspect, but my thought goes to these growing beings, and I would just invite all of us to hold those beings, all of those beings, conceived out of this political terrorism, violent activity, to hold them all in our consciousness like we would any being in relationship. And maybe that would be one really out of the box way that we can contribute.
Thank you, Marcy.
We also hold the boys and kind of think about healing, because they're obviously injured, mm-hmm. deeply yes. injured, mm-hmm. to do such a thing to people who are like their sisters.
Some of them are older men.
My question is for Karen. You didn't say much about what your birth was like after having survived an attempted abortion.
Yeah.
If you're willing to, what was that experience like to literally born?
Yeah, I'll say something about that. What I remember, my felt sense of my birth was that when it was time to come, I wanted to get out of there as fast as I could. And I wanted to get away from my mother. And that was my strongest impulse. And I remember that my mother was given anesthesia, and there was a point where I was reliving that in some work I was doing, and I felt it coming in, and I was furious about this intervention, which just took the wind out of my sails, because I had this, get me the hell out of here thing going on, and it was like a champagne cork, that's how I wanted it, like, get me out of here, like, I'm away, and then, that also brings up what a huge double bind these situations create inside of us, because I did not want to be connected with my mother, but I chose to stay here, and I had to stay connected with somebody that didn't want me here, and there's huge double binds in that, and double binds are a big part of how these imprints and these survival imprints get wired up inside of us, and part of what has to really be worked with when you work with somebody that has those issues.
I believe we have to close. Thank you very much for your questions, and thank you, Karen and Julia.
thing that Marcy asked before we leave. You started with a grounding.
We're going to do that. We are actually going to do that right now.
I had one more thing to say, which is I so liked what you said, Marcy, about going forward and doing that. And I kind of want to encourage all of us to become activists, you know. I think those of us that are here at APA feel that strongly, that we carry a certain mantle to expand the consciousness, to shift the paradigm. The world so needs us to all take that seriously. So whether it's about this particular issue, which is so loaded, or whether it's others that are so close to our heart that have been spoken about here, that we all really take it seriously.